another provision made by God, a provision that we see illustrated in Psalm 1. So I'm going to read that. I'm using the New International Reader's Version because the language is simpler. That's an attempt to have pity upon David, so it's easier to translate. Blessed is the person who obeys the law of the Lord. They don't follow the advice of evil people. They don't make a habit of doing what sinners do. They don't join those who make fun of the Lord and his law. Instead, the law of the Lord gives them joy, and they think about his law day and night. That kind of person is like a tree that is planted near a stream of water. It always bears its fruit at the right time. And if I've got a text, it's that verse. That kind of person is like a tree that is planted near a stream of water. It always bears its fruit at the right time. And it goes on to say, its leaves don't dry up. Everything godly people do turns out well. Sinful people are not like that at all. They are like straw that the wind blows away. When the Lord judges them, their life will come to an end. Sinners won't have any place among those who are godly. The Lord watches over the lives of godly people, but the lives of sinful people will lead to their death. This psalm gives that beautiful picture of a tree that is planted near a stream of water that bears its fruit, always bears its fruit at the right time. And it speaks of a person whose life is like that tree. It has been planted on purpose beside water. When it says it's been planted, the original language is the deliberate act of planting, which is something Gary knows all about, planting his irises. Yeah, the deliberate act of planting. And it's been planted on purpose beside water. And it's not just any water, but a steady supply, like a canal or irrigation channel. And that's the literal meaning of the word that gets translated as stream, as a canal or a channel. And canals and irrigation ditches may not sound so poetic, but it's important to note because it means someone planned it. Someone dug the channel. Someone chose the spot. And the tree didn't end up there by accident. It was deliberately planted, placed where it could grow strong. And because of that, the tree stays fresh. Its leaves don't dry out. It gives fruit at the right time. And even when other trees are struggling, it always produces a harvest. And that's the poetry of the psalm. But it also teaches us something practical. It shows what it means to be planted near God's word. And there are two sides to this, like two sides of a coin. One side is what we choose to do, and the other is what we choose not to do. First, the positive. The person in the psalm chooses to follow God's guidance. They spend time with God's word, thinking on it day and night. In the psalm, the Hebrew word Torah is translated as law, but it also means teaching and instruction. So in other words, it's God's word in the Bible. And when we fill our minds with God's word, it shapes how we think. And how we think shapes how we act. Godly thinking leads to godly choices. Godly choices lead to godly behavior, and that behavior produces a harvest, a fruit in season at the right time. And those who belong to God can be joyful because he has deliberately chosen to place us where we can know him more. He gives us strength and refreshment because we draw on his living water. And this comes through his word, the Bible, made alive in us by the Holy Spirit. With his help, our lives can bear the good harvest of all that is God-honoring, what is right and good. And this brings glory to God and assures us of eternal life within. But there's also a warning in the psalm. The psalm says there's a kind of sickness that can ruin the tree. It stops it growing fruit, it dries it up, and it becomes like straw blown away by the wind. You know, the psalm echoes that children's game, follow my leader. One child leads and the others copy. If the leader jumps, they all jump. If the leader waves, they all wave. But the psalm says, don't follow the wrong leader. Follow God. Don't take advice from people who do wrong. Don't copy their actions. Don't join those who laugh at God or ignore his word. Instead, follow the Lord. Stay close to him. Stay close to his word. And if we do that, we'll be able to see what's wrong, even when others can't. And because we love God, because we're thankful for his mercy, we won't mock him or turn away from his word, from his teaching. We all want to stay planted right by the stream, and our lives will bear fruit. There is, however, one necessary requirement that is somewhat hidden in Psalm 1. At face value, the psalm gives the impression that by obeying God in every detail, we can be righteous in his eyes and so bear spiritual fruit. But there is something hidden that only comes clear when we read or hear God's word. That is the impossibility of any of us being good enough for God. So how can we become that fruitful tree? Do you remember when we began thinking about the harvest, I mentioned Adam, and we discovered that his choice to disobey God brought brokenness into the world. Though God gave humans freedom, that freedom carries responsibility, and Adam was held accountable for his wrong choice. And as a result, the full blessing of God was withdrawn from creation. Well, this not only affected harvests, but it also infected every human being with the same tendency to say, my life, my way, not your way, God. Listen to what God says in his word. In Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 and following, it is written, no one is right with God. No one at all. No one understands. No one trusts in God. All of them have turned away. They have all become worthless. No one does anything good. No one at all. They don't have any respect for God. The truth is this. Naturally, every one of us, no matter how good we think we are, chooses the wrong way. We take on attitudes and actions that this psalm warns us not to follow. We copy the habits of sinners. And if you stop and think for a moment, you know that this is true. In God's eyes, we join with all those who do evil. We turn away from him, and by doing this, we mock him and his word. Now, we may think we look good. Other people may think we look good, but God sees the truth. Before him, we must give an account, and in his courtroom, we stand guilty, and his judgment is fair and right. And you know, it takes only a very little sin to ruin us completely. And I've got a classic visual aid that we probably, many of us have seen many times. So here is a glass of water, and just a little corrupts the whole glass. And that's what God sees. That's what sin does. Just a little turns us all red, as it were. And God sees that, sees our sin, however much or however little there is. So if you think you're good, if you think you're holy because you only have a drop of sin in you, then I'm sorry to say that no matter how little sin you have, God sees it and we stand condemned. Maybe you feel lost. Maybe you feel worthless before God. Maybe you think your life is so full of sin, like a glass filled to the top, that God will have nothing to do with you. But listen carefully. No matter how bad you think you are, it makes no difference to God. A person with a whole glass of sin is no more guilty than someone with only one drop. You may think that you're too bad for God to forgive you. Well, let me tell you, that's not true. In the end, the amount does not matter. Quite simply, you are valued by God. We are all valued by God. And I've just got a little video clip to show you.
I've got a $100 US bill here. It's a brand new one, one of those really nice, clean, crisp $100 bills. Okay, it's worth 100 American dollars, but it's clean and it's crisp. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to scrunch it up, crease it all up, completely crease it now, so it's not one of these brand new $100 bills. Now I've got a creased $100 bill. A moment ago, it was clean and crisp. It was worth $100. Now, it's all creased and crunched up, and it hasn't lost its value. It's still worth $100. However, it's clean. So I know that the stage is clean, but I'm sure that a bit of dust has been picked up and around about. Right, let's put some dust and a bit of dirt and a dirt. Right, now we've got a dirty, scrunched up $100 bill. A moment ago, it was clean and crisp, and it was worth $100. When it got creased, it didn't lose its value. It's still worth $100. Now it's got dirt on it on both sides, and it hasn't lost its value. It doesn't matter how creased you are. It doesn't matter how dirty you think you are. You have never lost your value in God's eyes.
Indeed, a very dramatic way of illustrating the point. Quite simply, you are valued by God. We are all valued by God. And each one of us, though, stands under the same judgment. Why? Because each of us has done the same great wrong in God's eyes. And it's not to do with what we do daily in our lives. It's because we prefer to live my life, my way, instead of his way. That's the deep element that makes us opposed to God. And because of this, we are each guilty and cannot make ourselves right with God. So if we can't make ourselves right with God, what hope is there? But what we cannot do, God can. Listen to this, just a few verses further on. The free gift of God's grace makes us right with him. Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. God gave Christ as a sacrifice to pay for sins through the spilling of his blood, that very first Easter on the cross. So God forgives the sins of those who have faith. He is a God of mercy. He makes right with himself those who believe in Jesus. And this gift of grace has two parts. First, Jesus gave his life for us. He shed his blood to pay the full price for every sin, every single one. No matter how great it seems to us or to the world, Jesus took the punishment for our choices so that we don't have to. And second, God gives us faith to believe, faith to trust that God has done what he promised, to make right with himself all who believe in Jesus, forgiving the sins of those who put their faith. And we can receive a great harvest when we believe God's word and his promise. And if my fingers could work, we can receive a great harvest when we believe God's word. But believing it also means acting on it. And it's like being planted by streams of living water. Then, like that tree that we've been thinking about, you will always give fruit at the right time, a harvest of what is good and right. So next time you walk into a supermarket or eat an apple or open a tin or peel a potato or pour some cereal into a breakfast bowl, next time you do that, remember that God has promised to take away your sin, no matter how big or terrible you think it is. To him, it makes no difference. Psalm 1 shows us the picture of a tree by the water. Its roots go deep, its leaves stay green, and it always gives fruit in season. This is the life that God invites us to, rooted in him, fed by his word, and fruitful for others. And if you already belong to God, give thanks. He has deliberately planted you where you can be nurtured, so that your life produces God-glorifying harvests of righteousness. Make the most of that gift. But to be like that tree planted by streams of water, we need to respond to God and receive his good gift. And it's like saying a big yes, trusting Jesus as God's son, asking his forgiveness, and letting him lead our lives. Can you say a big yes to God? Maybe you're not ready for that yet. You could take a smaller step, a little yes, deliberately choosing to explore more about God and faith. Can you say a little yes? Or perhaps today all you can manage is a healthy maybe, keeping an open mind and being willing to think about God again sometime. Can you say a healthy maybe? The door of God's invitation is open. He longs for your life to be planted by his streams of living water and to bear a harvest in season. May the Lord bless each of us. Amen.